Reverend Beasley, take the control.
Thank you, Pastor T.A. Let me know before I get started. You know, you guys able to see the screen here.
We can see it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let me move some things around here and get started here. Amen. Praise God here. Let's go ahead and get started here. First and foremost, I want to thank you, Reverend T.A. I say for still an opportunity for me to come and to share a word with your congregation on this morning. I'm not a stranger to Kingdom Keys, but it's always a blessing to be able to come and share God's word with you and also to fellowship with you. So I just pray on today that you, God, will find something encouraging from the passage of scripture that I'm going to be preaching from and sharing with you on today. And today's sermon is going to be on by faith. We'll be coming from chapter 11, verse 6. So if you can turn your Bibles, if you have it, your physical Bible in your hand, I do have my physical Bible here with me. But if you have it by phone or mobile or you have it by the internet, if you turn it to Hebrews chapter 11. And I will go on to the next passage of scripture here. And the passage of scripture in Hebrews 11, I know a lot of people are familiar with this passage of scripture. And I'll read it as such from the New King James Version. And would you read, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'll read it one more time. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the message of today. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father God, we just come before your glory present on the day, Father God. Just giving you glory, just giving you honor, God, just giving you praise, Lord God. God, we just thank you, God, for blessing us, God, to see yet another day, Lord God. But also, God, to have an opportunity to spend time in your presence, Father God. That you have given us this life, Lord God, and you have given to us more abundantly, Lord God. And God, we just pray on today, oh Lord God, that's first also confessing our sins, Lord God. That we committed before you, Father God, and against you, Lord. Lord God, you say we confess our sins, say you are rightful and just to forgive us of our sins, Lord God, and cleanse of all unrighteousness, Father God. And we pray, Lord God, there will be nothing said or done to hinder all the work going forward, but also from your people receiving, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your people today, Lord God. A people who live by faith, Lord God, and how we too can live by faith, Lord God. And I complete full trust in you, O Lord. So God, use this message, Lord God, for your glory, Lord God. And bring honor and bring people more closer into a deeper relationship with you. I pray and ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. This particular passage of scripture, I know it's only one verse here. But this verse has a lot of in-depth meaning to it. And but one thing I would like to do before I really engage into the context of this scripture that it speaks on by faith is that I'd like to give a little background in regards to the overall context of Hebrews, just to kind of set the stage and kind of put you in the context, right? Because, you know, the author of this is not just writing to be writing, but he's writing in a way that it speaks to that general audience that he had written this letter to. For some of you who are a Bible student, knows probably a lot about Hebrews, and there might be some who might not know a lot about the book of Hebrews. But this particular letter is actually a letter addressed to Hebrews. So when you see it, the book, the letter itself said, the book of Hebrews is actually a letter written to the Hebrews. This letter was written to Hebrew Christians. These were Hebrew Jewish Christians. These are Jews who have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. These are the people who have given their life over to the Lord and begin to live for the Lord. about the author of this book is written to these people, one, because they are facing great persecution from fellow Jews, those who have not given their life to the Lord. These people was under great stress and trials and tribulation and persecution because of their faith in Christ. And being that they were converted believers in Christ, a lot of them, they felt that this community was kind of like immature in their faith. So this letter has been written to them to encourage them to hold on to that faith in God and to persevere through these trials and tribulations that they're going through, you know, that they were facing from others outside the household of faith. And even if this persecution would even attack them, there was some that were even thinking about walking away from the faith or even dumbing down their faith in a sense of that they were looking in a sense to kind of, you know, devalue Christ in a way of put him on the level of an angel in a way to appease those who were persecuting him. They thought that if we were to remove Christ from being the Son of God, maybe this persecution that we were going through, maybe it can buffer it a little bit, that we wouldn't face so much trials and tribulation that we're going through. But the writer is writing this letter to exhort the people, to encourage them, to move forward in faith and in action. And that don't allow these trials to succumb you, to that will force you to either walk away from the faith or to, in a sense, just, you know, dumb down your faith or your faith in God, your belief in God. So Hebrews is the letter he was written to these Hebrew believers, but also was also addressed to those who were also Jews who have come into the knowledge of the gospel, but haven't yet made Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You know, they were intellectually believe of the scripture, but they wasn't spiritually committed. And then there were those who have come in contact with the scripture itself or faith in Christ, but came in contact of the knowledge of the gospel, but didn't make any steps to become believers. And so there was three camps here, but in this particular passage of scripture here in chapter 11, it's focused on those who are going through these trials and going through these tribulations. And so the background passage to this and to get you more in line in context here, it begins in chapter 10, it was 10, verse 32, and you can read up to verse 11 and verse 5. These texts kind of walk us up to verse 11 to 6, but I'm going to be focused more or less on verses 1 through 5. Just kind of walk us up to our text and kind of give us the context, what led up to the author stating what he's saying, that without faith is impossible to please God, and so forth, right? So verses 32 to 39 kind of focus around what those believers were going through, the struggles, the tribulation that was going through, the trials that they were going through, and some even not yet to the point of death, but it was getting close to it, because it was referenced to it in Hebrews 12 and 4. But when you get into chapter 11, you begin to see a large example of what many have become known as the heroes who endure by faith. You see the Abes, you see the Enoch, you see the Moses, you know, you see Sarah, you see Noah, you see all these Old Testament saints who lived out a life of faith, right? And so this writer is writing to encourage these believers to endure, to have faith that endure throughout, through this persecution. And he gives the example of these people who have endured that. And so when you look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, the author gives what some consider some characteristic of faith. They're not in line and saying that this is what faith is, but they said that this is the characteristic of faith. And it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So these are the two characteristics of faith. And these two characteristics of faith were basically taken from what the Old Testament saints had to live by. Their hope, it says that the faith is a substance. Some would translate it, is the assurance of things hoped for. And they say the evidence, it means a strong conviction of that is what's seen, what is not seen. And I'll try to summarize this in a sense so that it would make more sense. It said the assurance of faith is something objective that in the here and now gives to the things hoped for substantial reality, which will unfold in God appointed time. And those things that people will have this assurance of this hope will be the assurance of God's promises, the assurance of God's inheritance that we receive as believers in Christ, that we will obtain in the world to come, that will obtain the Sabbath rest, the eternal inheritance, and a heavenly Jerusalem. These were the things that the saints of the Old Testament were holding on to. That was their assurance of the hope that God has given them, and they were holding fast to. And then, and with that, is that they have this strong conviction of the things not seen, of that future reality that have yet to become, but it had a strong conviction that it will come to pass in the future. And you can see that with the life of Moses, with the life of Abraham, and all these Old Testament saints that had to live it. And that's why this stays stated in verse 2. It said, for it, the elders obtained a good testimony, meaning that they received a divine approval, meaning that because they live a life by faith in God, their faith is it's a full trust and hope in God. It's fully trusting and hoping in God. It's not something that's rocky or some shaky, something's unsure. It's that they have a full trust and their hope placed in God. And by that, they were able to live out their faith in God. And that is the beauty of this text, where they use in verse 1 and verses 2. In verse 3, it's kind of the other kind of, in a sense, brings the people apart us. And he said that by faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, and so that the things which are seen were not made of the things that are visible. And see, he's speaking to them as part of this thing too. He said, it's not just that Old Testament saint lived by faith, but he said, we too also live by faith, and that we believe that God spoke this universe that we see today, even us today, that we see today, the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellation, and this earth, that when God spoke it, it came into existence. See, here are the things that we wouldn't know when the origin of the world was created, but we trust by faith through the written word of God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse, and through chapter 2, that God spoke this world into existence, creation into existence, that this all-powerful God had did all these things, and we trusted by faith in God. It is this trust and faith in God. Not in anything else, but this trust and faith in God that we hold. And then the author continues and goes on in verses 4 and verses 5. He gives two examples from the Old Testament, starting in Genesis. If you look throughout chapter 11, you know, the author used these heroes of the faith, as some will label them, from Genesis all the way to the book of Joshua, that the Old Testament faith. And he's using these people as a means to encourage. He said, hey, here are several of those who live by faith in God. And nothing else, but they live in trust, in full trust and hope and belief in God. And he's used Abel. He said, it was by Abel's faith. He said, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent and sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained witness that was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he dared still speak. And even used Enoch as well, said by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God has taken him. But before he said, For before he was taken, he has this testimony that he's pleased God. See, what a faith was demonstrated in his obedience to God and offering a more excellent sacrifice to God, that he met the requirement that God was looking for. But it was by faith that Abe was found acceptable to God. It was by his faith. And even more so with Enoch. When the author used the word that he pleased God, That word is translated in the Greek, let's say in the Greek Old Testament, or some would say the Septuagint, speaking of one who walked with God. If you look in the text of Genesis chapter 5, verses 32, verses 22 to 24, it states twice that Enoch walked with God. And that walk with God speaks of one who has a close, intimate fellowship with God. And if you know anything about Enoch, even though his life is brief, it doesn't give an exhausted testimony about Enoch's life. But it said that Enoch walked with God 300 years. Imagine that, walking with God 300 years. You know, what our life expectancy is not that long, 300 some years. So you can imagine what Enoch's life was like with God. One who had true fellowship with God, one who truly understand God, one who truly believed God, who had faith in God, who had a faith in God, a trusting relationship with the Lord. That's what Enoch had with God. And so that kind of walks up to this text, because it's almost like the author has this smooth transition in into this. And so I'm going to move on here into the first thing I want to touch on in dealing with, you know, by faith. What is it? Is think about faith. And the author said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that seems such a harsh statement, but it's a statement that needs to be stated, because the author here is speaking to believers who are going through trials and tribulation. And it's easy to, in a sense, when you're going through trials and tribulation, to lose faith. To lose faith. Especially when your faith is not truly rooted in a trusting relationship with God. Because the author states with Enoch that Enoch was one who faith pleases God. And so that leads us to our first point here, is that faith pleases God. And at some point it says that there is absolutely nothing from man that can please God apart from faith. There is nothing that we can do apart from faith to please this God that we have come into relationship with. There is nothing that we can do. We must believe that he is God. And that we believe that we must also, that we must walk with him as well. And that is, like I said, there is nothing that we can do that apart from faith. There's nothing we can do it applies to our works. You know, good works doesn't only please God. Our nationality and our heritage doesn't please God. You can look at the Jews. The Jews thought, you know, that they had this tight-knit relationship with God because of they were the descendant of Abraham. And you look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 to 29, it speaks about, no, they did. They did. You know, because they thought about works. It wasn't works that pleases God. It's not even having a religion that pleases God. It is by faith, our trust and assurance in God. And in that, what the author gives in here in this text, the example of Enoch and Abel, is that these people, they live by faith. And the next point I want to make here is that man's relationship with God is built on a mutual trust, and true communion cannot exist without it. We really have to really trust God when it comes to our faith and when we're going through the trials of life. Our trial might not be the one that might be seen like the ones that the Jew was going through, the Jewish Christian and Hebrew were going through, persecution from outsiders. But we all do go through some challenges in life that will cause us to have doubt, to might lose faith. But it is that in order for us to have that full trust in God, it comes to one that word that our life must be one that is rooted in him. One that shows that we have a daily walk, a daily fellowship with him. Like the one that Enoch demonstrated. Because Enoch demonstrated a life that one that believed in God, the one that walked with God, a one that fellowship with God, the one that communed with him, you know, the one that pretty much has had this living faith and believed God in terms of who he is, believed in his promises, believed in his word, and believing that is one that is lived out. Because our faith is not faith unless, I heard this one person say, faith is not faith until it's tested. Your faith in God, once it's tested, shows you what you truly believe about. But in this essence, that in order for us to be pleased unto God, we have must have one that wants in God. We must have a life that one that walks with him. A one that has daily communion with him. Because without faith, as the author said, it is completely, utterly, it's not, it's impossible to please him. That's nothing that we can do to please God outside of exercising our full trust and belief in him. That he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That he's going to fulfill the promises that he says he's going to fulfill to us. And that he's not going to shortchange us. The next thing here, I want to point out here is that it states that without faith it's impossible to please God, but also is that it states that for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that in order to have faith in God, you must believe that he is. That he is the true God. The one that exists. The God of the scriptures. That is that Christ, who Christ has made known to us, you read John chapter 1, verse 18, that Christ is the one who made God known to us as believers. We come to know God through Christ and having that communion with Christ and having that communion with God. That is the God that we believe. And that this is, we also must also believe that he is God. But we also must come to understand that knowing who God is, we must believe that this God is also moral, that this God is also just. He's loving, he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's caring, he's relatable, that you can get to know God, you know, that he's very personal, and that he responds to us graciously. Just think about the relationship that you have with God, that you have with God today. We have a personal and intimate relationship with God. For those of us who come to him, we believe that he is. And we come to know more and more about God the more we commune with him, the more we fellowship with him. You know, this God that we come and commune with is the God of the scriptures, the God of creation, the God that meets us where we're at. He is not this God that people create in their own image or in their own likeness or what they may think. You know, some people who tend to say, yeah, I believe in God, you know, but they believe in God as the man above or the man upstairs. That's not the God of the scripture. God, that right there doesn't force them to have a relationship with him. It only speaks to someone who might have the inkling of yeah, there might be a God based on what I see through creation, or what do I see by me reasoning about life and whatever? No. It's that we come to God by faith. And coming by faith, we believe in who he is. That is nothing that can change our thoughts about who God is. Not even the tribulations, not even our persecution, not even the trial that we're going through. Those things doesn't change who God is to us. And so the author is telling to his readers and even to the listeners there, to the believers and the unbelievers, and that he who comes to God must believe that he is. Believe that he is. And some scripture may say that he exists. And that is our point, that believe that God exists. We must believe that he exists. And that man's faith in God must be real. Faith in God existed must be real. It can't be some happenstance thing like, oh yeah, I think that God believes God exists, but I don't really believe. But you know, but I'm not really showing anything that reflects that I believe that God is real. Man's faith in God must believe that God is real. And what that being said, and that also speaks to some of the Jews there, because there were some Jews. And within the Hebrew text, a knowledge of true God the God of Scripture. But that didn't trust him. It's one thing to believe that God exists, but to exist in your belief of God must believe that you must trust him too. You must trust God. And who do he say he is, and what his promises are, and what he said that he's going to deliver for. That is faith. That is faith in action. Not only that believing that who he is, but also we must also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that leads us to our last point. That God, that he is faithful. That God is faithful to his word. That God is a rewarder. In some texts it would say that he is this rewarder. He is a paymaster. A man, and when I use the word man, it also includes women. Us, those who believe, who have faith in him. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not people who haphazardly seek God after God, but it's those who diligently seek after him. Those who come after God. Those who trust God. Those who life reflect one who is searching, who is coming after him. Those are the ones, they say, that God is rewarded. We must believe that who God is, and we say to you the text of Scripture, that he's faithful and he's just. But also that he also is a warrior. That you can trust God at his word, that whatever promise that God has promised, that God's going to see it through. They see it through. And these Old Testament saints are great examples for those of us who may, in a sense of time, may find their faith shaken at times. Maybe doubting that God is going to fulfill what he says he's going to fulfill. We look at the life of Moses. We look at the life of Abraham. We look at the life of Enoch. We look at the life of Sarah. But look at so many saints of old and show that they was the one who that God has rewarded. And a lot of them have received that reward and received their eternal reward of being with God. And for many of us, we have had people in our lives, be our parents, or be our grandparents, or be fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, who have shown us in their faith walk with God of how one is to seek after. The one who trusted after God, who have seen God answer their prayers, who have seen God move mightily on the behalf of others that they have prayed for. And so, in this, is that we can trust that God is a rewarder. And here are some ways that God does reward us. And that one thing in our faith in God, that one thing we do, we have this everlasting salvation. That we have been delivered from sin, that we're now in this communion, this relationship with God, that we were one of his children. And then also that we have this eternal life that comes with our faith in God, this reward that we receive with God. John 3:16. And also that when we seek God, his kingdom and righteousness, you know, there are things that we receive from God as well, reward that we receive from God. Receive also the forgiveness of sin, a new heart, joy, peace, love, and also that we're heirs with Christ. Just think about that. We are joint heirs with Christ. We now have complete communion with God, complete fellowship with God, something that can't be broken, something that can't be broken apart, because there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so there are many more rewards that God gives us. If you look throughout the page of Scripture, there are so many promises that God gives his people. And I really love this text that it points out. It says, for those who diligently seek him. You know, there's a passage in Proverbs 8:17 that said, God said, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Those who do seek will find me. Especially if you're seeking God with your whole heart. You're seeking God with your whole heart. And that is the beauty of living by faith. Is that this faith that we have with God, this faith that we have with God, that this God is just a trustworthy God. and that we can trust God when we go through the trials of life, when we go through issues of our life, things that might cause us to doubt, but we trust in His faithful God. And that's what this author was trying to communicate to these people as an encouragement to these people when they're going through. And likewise, I encourage you today in this text of Scripture to trust God, to live by faith, to allow your faith to not to be unmoved, but allow your faith to be rooted in trust by God. Because by faith, it's the only way to please God. And that is my conclusion here. And then I just like to keep it simple and plain. Faith pleases God. Nothing else but the faith and trust and reassurance in the God of creation, the God of Scripture. There's the one that we hold our full trust and assurance and hope and conviction in. It is in the God of the Scripture and a God who made Himself real to us in our life, in our day-to-day life. And I thank You. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, grace on the Father God, we just thank You this morning, Father God. And I thank You, God, this morning, Lord God, for continuing to reveal Yourself to me. And I hope that You reveal Yourself to Your people through this passage of Scripture, Lord God, through this message, Lord God. I pray there was something shared on today, God, that will minister to them, Lord God. That if they may be having some doubts in their faith, meaning that they're doubts in You, God, that You are going to fulfill promises, Lord God, that You're going to answer prayer, God. Reassure them, Lord God, that You will answer that prayer, oh God, within Your time, Lord God, and we know that Your time is perfect, Father. So, God, encourage Your people on today, God, as well as, God, encourage me on today, Lord, through Your word, Lord God, that our faith is the only thing that pleases You, not our works, not our actions. Our works is only a byproduct of our salvation, the good works that we do, that Christ prepared for us in beforehand. But our faith and trust must be in You and Your life. For in Christ Jesus' name I pray and ask all these things. Amen.